Welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Stevie Nicol here with you in the studio. A little later on, we'll be joined by Don Hutchison and also Julien Laurent as we take a look back at the fifth round meeting in the FA Cup between Everton and Boreham Wood. In the end, Everton did come through with two goals in the second half from Salomon Rondon. Some emotional scenes before the game. Vitaly Mykolenko, the Ukrainian player for Everton, coming out with the captain's armband on, and Everton progressing through to the quarterfinals after beating their fifth-tier opposition. Don Hutchison was watching it for us as well. So your thoughts on the final result of this one, Don?
I think pretty standard, pretty routine. They had to work for it, professional. It's that movie that I said I've seen before, Kay, when a Premier League side gets one, they tend to then go through the gears and it weakens the opposition. And the opposition, especially away from home, if you're at home, you can find something within yourself. You can find something from the crowd. You can find something from your sort of inner stomach where you might be able to kick on. But when you're away from home, it's tough. And then Richarlison was the massive difference. He came in at half-time. He was the cream. He was the player that I think gave all the fans more optimism. Definitely give the players more optimism on the pitch. They trusted him. And Rondon got his goal. So I think Frank Lampard will say afterwards, it's not about us. It's all about the story of Boreham Wood, and credit them for their performance that they put in.
Yeah, huge credit to Boreham Wood for non-league football. But when it comes to Everton, this is an important result for them as well, Stevie, for camaraderie, with the fact that they've got a relegation battle going on in the Premier League too.
Yeah, no question. Some will argue it's against Boreham Wood, but the fact is that every time you get a victory, everybody gets a lift. It's the FA Cup. They're going into it on a good run. And no question it will help them at the weekend against Tottenham. So, yeah, good result in the end. If you're frank, though, you're probably going to look at this game and say, yes, we won it, but where's my playmaker? Where's the guile coming from? Yes, they have players with ability going forward, but where's the guile to break teams down? If you can't break Boreham Wood down, you know, how do you think you're going to do it against other Premier League sides? So that would be the one worry, if you're frank.
And do you think then with that, though, Don, the fact that there were some players injured and cup-tied, he can find what he needs there?
Yeah, I get where Stevie's coming from, and he's right on that performance. But I think if you added Dele Alli and probably Donny van der Beek, who obviously couldn't play, the pair of them, you add that to a Salomon Rondon, you add that to Richarlison, you add that to Decore, he's the most important player, I think. I know we talk about Dominic Calvert-Lewin and wrap him up in cotton wool, but as a midfield player and as an Everton ex-player and Everton fans that I follow on social media and we have interaction, Decore makes them tick, Kay. He's the man that's just so good. He sees a picture. He plays good passes. He runs forward. He defends. He's got the lot. He's a fantastic player. So if you're Frank Lampard now and the coaching staff, you know, you wrap him up in cotton wool and you get him ready for Tottenham, because that's going to be a totally different game away from home. And that's what Frank's been stressing. He's been stressing, look, at home at Goodison, we've got belief. Away from home, they are a little bit more fragile.
One of the things we did see before this game kicked off was emotional scenes before kickoff and a show of support for Ukraine. Vitaly Mykolenko captaining his side today and leaving his homeland in January when he signed for Everton. Obviously, with Russia's invasion of his native Ukraine, there's been a big showing of support for him, and none more so than from his captain, Frank Lampard, today, Don, giving him the captain's armband.
Oh, it's amazing, Kay. Another brilliant story from the FA Cup. And, you know, when we get old, me and the likes of Stevie, we get old codgers, we get a little bit emotional every now and again. We do. We think of, you know, the games gone by and things that have touched you over the years. And he'll remember that, Mykolenko. He'll remember that when he's sitting watching the telly, when he's retired, or he might think about it tomorrow, but certainly when he's retired. And he'll think of English football and he'll think of Everton. And Everton Football Club will have touched him. Brilliant from Frank Lampard, giving the armband. Really emotional scenes before the kickoff as he's led the team out onto Goodison Park through the tunnel. And that will stay with him for the rest of his life.
Everton now through to the last eight of the FA Cup, where they will face Crystal Palace. Nottingham Forest and Huddersfield to take on Liverpool. Depends on who wins that one on Monday. Middlesbrough at home against Chelsea. And Southampton also at home against Man City. The draw was made before the game today. Matches will be played the weekend of March 19th and 20th. You like that for Liverpool, Stevie? One of those two?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, if there are teams from a lower league still in a competition, you want them. And as good as some of the championship teams have done in the tournament, there's no way you're going to back any of them against the top clubs, and you're certainly not going to back Forest or anybody else against Liverpool. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with
it. It's a win-win, isn't it? Because they probably want the big teams like Liverpool as well at this stage in this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess if you're them, you want to be at home as well. So they've got that, which gives an extra little bit of incentive. But no, if you're Liverpool, you're happy.
Yeah. Any surprises that you think might happen from this quarter-final draw, Don?
I've got a gut feeling for Southampton, Kay, against Man City. They're the form side, Southampton. I think Pep might sort of rest a few. I know it's the sort of quarterfinals and everyone thinks that he might go strong. And he probably will because they're a strong outfit and they've got a strong squad. But the form of Ralph Hasenhüttl's men might scare them. I think Thomas Tuchel's men have got to play a lot better than they did against Luton, because Middlesbrough, as we've seen, knocking out Spurs and Man United, they can dominate and they can beat anyone. I agree with Stevie. I think when you haven't got Palace, which is sometimes a hard place to go, you know, away from home, the atmosphere there can be pretty hostile. When you go to Forest, they're a good football inside, same as Huddersfield, but the pitch is good. It's not too hostile. So Liverpool, I would imagine, will go through there. They'll fancy the chances for sure.
So Everton through to the last eight, but they've got a battle on their hands in the Premier League. As you can see, they're in 17th, just behind Leeds United, who have hired a new manager in Jesse Marsh. And in the press conference after his signing was announced, he was asked about American coaches taking charge of European football clubs. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I think there's probably a stigma. I'm not sure Ted Lasso helped. I haven't watched the show, but I get it. I get it. Like, people hate hearing the word soccer. They hate hearing, you know, I mean, I've used the word football since I was a professional football player. I think more and more in the States, we're adapting to what the game here is in England and our connection with what this league is and what the culture of the sport is in this country. I can understand that they don't think that we have the experiences that can be created here in Europe. Frankly, they're right? I mean, it was the reason I came to Europe. It was the reason I learned German. It was the reason I tried to adapt to new cultures. This is the fifth country I've coached football in. So, and it takes me out of my comfort zone every time. It challenges me to grow and develop and learn new things. I'm very open to that. I'm very cognizant of the fact that I'm not perfect and I don't want to be. And all I can say is the only way I know how to do things is to go all in, to give everything I have, to believe in who I am, to believe in the people that I work with, and to try to maximize what we are every day. And I find if you can do that effectively, that you can be incredibly surprised with the human spirit and what you can achieve. So that sounds like Ted Lasso, I think, from what I've heard.
just believe. Don, you were impressed with what you heard from Jesse Marsh?
I was, very much so. He wasn't on the defensive. He was, you know, he's quite humorous. He was quite funny. I think you can see that he's genuine as well. He's obviously an intelligent manager. And everything he was saying is right, you know. I mean, you know, he speaks five different languages. He's worked incredibly hard to get this big job at Leeds. He could have come across... I think the question that was a little bit loaded and they were trying to be a little bit smarmy towards him, but I thought he batted it off really well. He could have went on the defensive. He could have looked a little bit awkward. The interview could have been awkward. But I think in the end, I think he had everyone laughing. I think he's a very, very smart guy. And I think if you're a Leeds fan tuning in, you're getting your first impressions of your new manager. I think they'll be quite happy.
Yeah. So there we go. Jesse Marsh in at Leeds. And so far, Don is impressed with what he's heard from the new manager. Well, we'll see how the results play out, and we wish him the best of luck. Naden was at Goodison Park for us today. We've been waiting to hear from him. Here he is, Naden, managing to avoid the rain, and now that it's stopped raining, he's decided to come and join us on ESPN FC. Look at him. What can you tell us, Naden, about what you saw?
Yeah. It was an interesting game in some ways, because Bournemouth are obviously tough to play against, but in this particular match, they clearly didn't have enough in terms of attack. So for Everton, it's just a case of, can they be clinical? In the end, they were, and it sort of feels like a business as usual type moment. Obviously, the next round's going to be that bit tougher for them. But, you know, a win's a win. And I think where Everton are at the moment, they'll try and take some positives from that.
You just heard the sound from Jesse Marsh there, appointed as the new Leeds head coach. What do you make of this appointment, Naden, and what you heard from him?
I think apparently they've been courting him for a little while, and you know, him coming in, he did sound good in that press conference and with Don. I think he was impressive. The sense of humour as well, to be able to get the media on your side from early. You know, that's good, because there's going to be pressure. The games between now and the end of the season are going to be huge. And I think as long as he goes in there and he sort of has the mentality that, you know, he does want to build, yes, but guaranteeing your status in the Premier League is the first and most important thing in his time. And I think if that comes across among with the players and with the fans, I think they'll get right behind him. But if it's talk like, you know, this is a long-term project and this, that and the other, I think it's going to be hard, because as we've seen with Bielsa leaving, teams don't like losing. And in the end, you know, that's why changes come.
It definitely does have a battle on his hands. Taking a look at the relegation odds here, Stevie. Leeds right in the thick of it. Can you see them surviving?
I actually don't. And I don't think it's getting anything to do with the manager either. I think the truth is that the players they have aren't good enough. It doesn't help that three of your main players, likes of Calvin Phillips in particular, Bamford up top, Cooper, your captain. It doesn't help that they're not playing, because for Leeds to win games, they have to be number one at the best and be able to pick their best 11. And they haven't been able to do that, and it seems unlikely they're going to be able to do that between now and the end of the season. And that means they've got what they've got. And what they've got is shown they're not good enough. And it's going to be tough for Jesse to come in and completely change the style. He says he's going to tweak it, but the truth again is that the way that they're playing the game, when you're losing 4, 5 and 6, it's the complete wrong game. So if you're going to have to change things, and I think they're going to have to change the way they play, and that means they're going to have to be more defensive and tighter, and take a leaf out of Boreham Wood. You see what can be done with average players if they play as a unit. That's an awful big change from the all over the place,
Bielsa
spread out,
style.
Running 100 miles an hour style that they had under Bielsa, to have such a short period of time to change it and make it good enough to stay out of the relegation pack, very difficult.
Who's going down, Don?
I think Leeds will be fine. I'm the opposite to Stevie. I think Leeds would have stayed up with Bielsa. I know they were in ridiculous form and they were quite chaotic in the end, but I think Norwich will go, I think Watford will go, and I think Brentford. I think Brentford have played the most games from all the teams down there. There's teams that have got a couple of games in hand. They've not won in an awful long time. They're spiralling towards the bottom three. I think Leeds are good enough when you look at people like Rodrigo, Rafinha, Dan James. Liam Cooper was back on the training pitch today. I think they've got enough. I think there's worse sides than Leeds down there. So I think Jesse Marsh will keep them up. And I worry if I'm watching Brentford at the minute. I think they are really, really struggling.
Stevie's not.
I'm sorry, Don. I'm struggling to come up with a positive for Leeds. I mean,
the players I've mentioned, Stevie, do you not think they're good enough?
Think they're good enough. No, I actually don't think they're good enough. I honestly don't see where the goals are. Number one, how are they going to stop teams scoring? Because,
well, that would be Jesse Marsh.
Liam Cooper is a good, solid defender. That's not going to get you out of relegation battle, one guy, because the other ones around them are not as good as him. I don't see how they win games. I just don't.
Do you not worry for Brentford, Stevie?
No, I think Brentford have got better fight than Leeds have. And they've got stronger players who will fight better. Or certainly, if it's a fight between two teams, I'm picking Brentford in a fight.
Well, at the other end of the spectrum, one team who can't stop winning is Liverpool. 14 unbeaten now. When it comes to their quest for the quadruple, the odds to win are pretty good for them. 50-1. They're still alive in all competitions. One trophy downed on, three more to go. Percentage chance of them winning all four.
I knew it was coming, Kay. I was just going to say, give me a percentage. I mean, it's never, ever been done, has it, Stevie? It's never been done?
Nope.
Quadruple?
Nope.
It won't be done. It's too difficult.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't want to go 0%.
0%.
No, I'll never go 0 because every record's there to be broken. I will go 10%. It's the most I can give you.
Nadim, can you see Liverpool scooping all four?
Well, the form they're in at the moment, you know, it's tough to see them losing too many games, but for me, the biggest one really is like the Champions League, because it feels like the teams you go up against, they're obviously very good sides and it could be in good moments and you could just be one bad tie away from the whole thing going away from you. So that's obviously going to be tough. But whilst they're still in it, they've got that first one ticked off. Of course, the belief is there that they can do it. You know, they've got really good players in there and they have enough players now to be able to rotate as well. So if Klopp manages to get the sort of balance right in terms of who comes in and who steps out, then yes, they've got a very good chance. But as the guys are alluding to, it's very unlikely to win everything. But the belief is definitely there, because right now there's nobody to fear. But in time, who knows, that could change.
It's just Nadim's calling the bluff, isn't he? Because he knows it's Man City that they're up against in the league in the title fight.
Well, you could think that way, but I actually think he's telling the truth.
Right.
Because I actually agree 100% with him. The trouble is, you're going for so many that you do have to rotate. And so that can trip you up. At the end of the day, to win the Champions League and to win the Premier League, at the very least, you're going to have to beat Man City twice. And that's not going to be easy. So it's going to be tough.
All right, let's take a look at the top half of the Premier League right now. A big game coming up at the weekend between Manchester United and Manchester City. Let's take a look at the odds for this one. Manchester City, the big favourites for it. And we're going to take a much bigger dive into this game and preview it tomorrow when Nadim will be back with us. But Don, what's your prediction for it, the Manchester derby this weekend?
Anything City want it to be, Kay. Honestly, I know Man United over the years, especially away from home, I think have had some good results and one or two wins. But I don't see a United side that are flowing at the minute. I see a side that's disjointed. I see a manager that hasn't got power. I don't think he's got authority, Ralph Rangnick. If he thought, even in the back of his mind, that he thought Ronaldo's played every single game, every single minute of the last five games, apart from 6 minutes, he might be a little bit jaded. There's no way I'm going to leave him on the bench because he'll kick off. What form Pogba's in, McTominay, Fred, who's my best pairing at centre-back? Do I play Jadon Sancho? Do I play Rashford? Is he going to come off? There's so many questions when you watch Man United. Is Bruno the man in this game where... You know, I tweeted last week in their game last week in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid, K, and it was 1-0 and it was a battering. They hit the crossbar two or three times and Man United were lucky to only be 1-0 down. And I sent out a tweet. I went, what do you do now? Because Bruno was having an absolute stinker. We've all had him, but he was having a mare in the game. And I said, what do you do now? Do you leave Bruno on knowing that he's having a nightmare and he's given the ball away for fun? Or he might just produce one killer pass in the game to get an assist. And he got it. He got Anthony Elanga away and he got it. But at times, the carrying players Man United. And the team you can't carry players against is Man City. Because they can literally put any number past you. Wouldn't stun me if this is a 4 or a 5 job.
Stevie?
Oh, I've got to say that it's going to be down to this false nine that they play with. And if they've got the shooting boots on. Because if they've got the shooting boots on, then they'll score goals against Manchester United. If they don't, and they do what they did against Tottenham in particular, and on the odd occasion, they're capable, because they don't have a recognised centre-forward. If that's how they play, then United's got a chance on the break. But otherwise, it's down to finishing. City got finishing. No chance.
A lot more talk about the Manchester derby coming up on tomorrow's show, and Nadim will be back with us and we'll hear his thoughts on what's ahead this weekend.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Roman Abramovich announcing his intention to sell Chelsea, still dominating the headlines in the UK. Julien Laurent is joining us now to bring us up to date with the latest. Thanks for being with us, Jules. What can you tell us?
Well, Kay, it's developing very quickly in the sense that Hans Jorg's the Swiss billionaire who lives in the US, and his partner, his associate in this deal, Todd Bewley, the LA Dodgers owner, and the American billionaire have found two more partners to be able to put a good offer on the table for Chelsea Football Club to Roman Abramovich as early as this weekend, potentially. They said before this week that he could not go on his own, that he needed other people with him, like a consortium of very rich people, which he clearly has found now. And I think this was the biggest challenge, if you want, finding the right people to put something together. It looks like they have now. And I think a lot of people around the sale and involved in the sale expect it to go quite quickly now, in the sense that by the weekend we could have an official offer, a concrete offer from this consortium, Vis and his partners, to Roman Abramovich for the sale of the club. We don't know yet the valuation, of course, and this is to be discussed. We know that the money that Chelsea as a football club still owe to Roman Abramovich is not there anymore, that Abramovich has decided to let that on the side, so it's just down purely to the valuation of the football club as a business, really. And I think once they find an agreement, this could go very quickly, and then we'll be waiting obviously for the Premier League approval and etc. but at least between the two parties they could reach an agreement very quickly.
Nadim, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the reports of Abramovich looking to sell Chelsea?
Sorry, could you say that again, please?
Yeah, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the news that Roman Abramovich was looking to sell Chelsea Football Club?
Do you know what? It came as a surprise to me, but then as you do more of your reading and get a sort of feel for people's mindsets, I think in some ways it makes sense, because there were so many eyes that were sort of turning on him, turning on Chelsea Football Club, and somebody who, you know, has significant links to, say, potentially has links to Vladimir Putin and so on. People saying, well, why is he being allowed to be able to own one of our football clubs in our place when so many other Russians and the like are being sanctioned? So I think for him, he thought the best mode of action was going to be this, and to act so swiftly and to have potentially a new buyer like that. I guess overall he's trying to do it in the best interest of Chelsea Football Club, but then also, you know, not lose out too much himself. But the questions were definitely going to be there, especially going into the League Cup final. Like, if the club would have won it, people would be saying, oh, but here's a prominent Russian winning one of our domestic competitions at a time when allegedly, you know, we're holding sanctions against other people from that country. So, you know, it was the timing of it. I guess it makes sense given the current geopolitical situation, but yes, it's a strange time, if you're a Chelsea fan, because it's an end of a very significant era, and you know you have your feelings about the stuff that's going on over in Eastern Europe. But the fact is, it feels like it's the right decision, and hopefully can go through, and people can be more at peace with it all.
Yeah, in terms of the Premier League, Nadim, how much did he actually change the landscape in English football, especially with big money takeovers happening at clubs in the Premier League?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a very significant era. I think some people would have criticisms that maybe he's had too many managers and the like. And, you know, you could argue that is true. But the fact is, he's brought a lot of success to Chelsea. You know, they have been like other sides, and they have been able to spend a lot of money. And we've seen some of the best and most talented players through that era coming to the Premier League, playing for Chelsea. You've seen them win domestically. You've seen them win in Europe. And, you know, don't get it twisted, they were a very good side before that. But there's been a different feel about Roman Abramovich Chelsea. They've won so many trophies. I think since the new Wembley Open, they've been there more than any other side. And you can say a lot of that is down to him and his stewardship, his understanding of the Premier League, his understanding of what it is to sort of be a part of Chelsea. And from what I've gathered, it seems like the fans have loved him because he's brought those great moments to them. So I think credit to him for the work that he's done in that time. But in terms of going forward, I think it's fair that most people would rather not see him in charge of the football club anymore.
Nadim, thanks for being with us. We're going to let you get dry now, and we'll see you tomorrow to talk about the Manchester derby.
With pleasure. Take care.
All right, just when you thought the talk of the Super League may have gone away for a while, you're wrong. This is Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president, talking about the latest update, saying first they started with this nonsense idea in the middle of the pandemic, and now I keep reading articles that they're planning something else in the middle of a war. They live in a parallel world. Javier Tebas, La Liga's president, said, we know this is what they're working on. If Andrea Agnelli doesn't explain it, he will be lying. Three teams met in his house. Every time I read about it, I get angry. I think they lie more than Putin, if I'm being honest. Agnelli himself said the Super League hasn't failed. I will not accept questions about Tebas. His statements speak for themselves. Jules, I know that there has been a lot of talk about this on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. Your reaction to what we're seeing here?
Well, we were all waiting to really hear what Andrea Agnelli would say today in the conference. Will he try to launch a new Super League or a new version of it? Will he be a bit more cautious? And I think certainly he was wise to talk the way he did, in the sense that he wanted, I think, to keep it alive in a way, in the sense that there's no Super League coming anytime soon in the pure technical sense of it. But what he said was like, listen, it's still there. It's still there because right now European football needs a reform. And I think on that point he's right. We know there's a new format of the Champions League coming in 2024-2025. In that season, it would be a different way of playing the Champions League. There would be more money for clubs. There would be more clubs as well. They play more games. All of that, but I think he means even that is not enough. And you know, you might like the idea of the Super League or not. You might like Agnelli and the other top clubs or not. I think he's got a point in the sense that there's a reform is needed. I think there's a lot of big European clubs who think that English clubs, for example, are already too powerful, already too rich compared to the other top clubs in Europe. And I think they also have a point. So you know that they're going to keep talking about it. The fact that he didn't go head first against UEFA, Seferin was there against Javier Tebas, I think also shows that he knows he needs the approval of people like Tebas and Seferin of UEFA, that you can't go on your own like we saw a year ago where it was an absolute car crash. I think they've learned the lesson, and certainly the way they will approach it now is to be a bit more cautious, and certainly I think to try to get everybody on board. Again, it could be simply a new Champions League more than a proper Super League like they thought about it originally, but I think the dialogue around the reform of European football is needed anyway.
Okay, well, a lot more talk about this, as mentioned, on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure you download that wherever you do get your podcasts. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Look at Barcelona's January transfer window. We've already seen these players making a big difference and a big impact on Xavi's Barcelona so far. And there could be talk of another big name player coming in at Barcelona. We're bringing in Gemma Soler from Barcelona to talk more about this. Gemma, I suppose it's where you're reading your papers at the moment. If you're reading your newspapers in Catalonia, you're seeing Erling Haaland's name plastered all over and the belief that perhaps Xavi can convince the player to sign for Barcelona. What can you tell us?
Hola, Kay. Yeah, well, it's in the digitals already. It's going to be in all the covers tomorrow. And I think for Barcelona, if we remember, not so long time ago, when the season started, just eating at the same table with Haaland or even his representative, Mino Raiola, it's already a triumph. Just trying to pursue him, because now they have the sportive attractive, I think, to try to sell a project, because of course Barcelona is not the best team in an economical position to try to sign him. So yeah, there was a trip on Tuesday to Munich, and there was a meeting with Jordi Cruyff and with Xavi, trying to convince him, selling him the how would that team be with him, all the attractive Barcelona with all the youngsters and the new signings, and with a coach who has an idea and how he needs a number nine, and how that he could be the leader, like it happened some years ago with Ronaldinho or later with Messi. So this is the biggest asset Barcelona has for Haaland in trying to win this auction. If you ask for my opinion, I think this is, it's not impossible. Barcelona is able to do the operation. They are offering 190 million euros. They could go back to the CVC agreement. There are they can have a loan. They could work it, but I think it will be crazy for this team with all the economical problems, with the stadium that needs to be reconstructed. I think it's crazy because, yes, they could do that operation, but they need to build a team. They need to build a new team. They need to renew Gavi. What happened if Pedri is in the Ballon d'Or candidate, so they need to pay more money. So I think it's a crazy idea, but of course they want to be there in case he believes in that team and he wants to go in Barcelona for less money than what Manchester City, or we will see what happened with Mbappé if Real Madrid decides to turn to his interest to Haaland.
Yeah, a crazy idea it could be, Jules, but what do you think? Could you see it materializing?
Well, I think it's not so crazy. It's more a very expensive idea because, as we mentioned already on the show, this is a deal that is worth around 300 million euros overall, between the release clause and the transfer fee, the wages on the length of the contract, all the commissions for Raiola and for Alfie Haaland as well. This will cost a lot of money. Of course, they can try to convince him. Of course, they should. Of course, they should go and see him and speak to him and discuss a potential move for him and how he will play in the team. And imagine having Xavi coming and knocking at your door, and you open the door and it's Xavi. And okay, this is a big wow factor. Of course, they should be there. There's a big difference between going there and trying to convince him than actually signing the contract. There's a long way to go. We know there's a lot of other big clubs in Europe who maybe have more money than Barcelona, who also have a lot of incentive to try to convince him to join them. So this will be a battle. I think it's really interesting to see what Barca are doing right now. We know that Franck Kessié is top of the list. We know that Andreas Christensen, two free agents, is also top of the list. We know that Gaia is another one that they would like to strengthen a left back. And then the big money move, the marquee signing, will be Erling Haaland. But again, the others are far easier to do compared to the Norwegian.
Well, we've seen some very interesting quotes today from Dutch newspaper AD, from former Barcelona coach Ronald Koeman, who says it was the insistence of the club's hierarchy that I agreed to the departure of certain players. But when you see that they signed someone for 55 million euro, it makes you wonder if something else was happening. Why did Messi have to leave? He also says, Barcelona didn't give me the same time as Xavi. I was working with many injured players. Now Pedri is back in shape. Ousmane Dembele's back. Every coach needs time and patience from the board. Laporta told me 1,000 times that Xavi would not be his coach because he lacked experience. Gemma, what's been the reaction to these quotes back in Barcelona?
Well, there was a little bit of surprise. Even what happened with Ronald Koeman, he's still a respected figure here in Barcelona. So, but it's so different how the team has changed with Xavi's arrival. I agree with him with almost everything, that he was unlucky with injuries. He was not Laporta's coach. He had to deal with a lot of ugly things, like having to sack Suarez, having to deal with Messi's tragic, traumatic departure. And he behaved like a club man. And I think that his sacking was not very respectful from Joan Laporta. I agree with almost everything, not about the timing, because of course he had more time than Xavi. He was a year and 4 months. Xavi has been a little bit less, a little more than 100 days in charge. And I also agree, because this is true, we know that Xavi was not the first choice for Joan Laporta. He thought he was an unexperienced coach. He actually offered him to coach the B team Meanwhile, he was trying to get Tuchel clean, some coach that everyone said no because it was so difficult coming to Barcelona. So I agree with everything, but the complaining point, and we saw that so many times in Barcelona. Koeman was always complaining, and I think that also was a reason why the fans were a little bit tired of him, apart that the team was playing ugly. He was always complaining about the referees, about the injuries, about even blaming some players. So he's doing that again. I think he has some reason because his sacking was quite ugly, could have been done with more class, I think, in Barcelona. And this marriage of Laporta and Koeman was always a convenient one. So the only thing I disagree is that he shouldn't have started the season. That would have been much better idea for Barcelona. And actually, most of the board of members were pushing Laporta to sack him at the beginning of the season. But Laporta, Xavi was the candidate of the coach of the other candidate in the elections, and he really believed that he had not enough experience. So he decided to keep him also because Jordi Cruyff was suggesting that they needed to give him more credit. And eventually it's been not a good season for Barcelona because Xavi came too late. They had to do more signings probably than what they wanted. So I think there is some understanding. There will be some understanding in Barcelona. But of course, he forgets that now Barcelona are playing better. And I think the fans of Barcelona need to respect Koeman because he was a legend as a player. And he did good to the club, not only winning La Copa del Rey, but also making being brave with the young ones, with Pedri, with Gavi, with all the young players. He made it to the first team. And I think he needs to be respected for that.
Be respected, of course, by the Barcelona fans and obviously for everything that he's meant to the club in the past. But what are your thoughts on what you saw from what he said, Jules?
I've got no time whatsoever for him. I think he was an average manager. I think he was lucky to be in that position. I think he was lucky to be there that long. And for him to come and whinge now, okay, maybe he had things on his chest that he wanted to say. I mean, this is not a Care Bear world. We said it so many times. What your owner or your president lied to you and said, oh, I would not appoint him, but then I did. How long has he been in football, the Dutch guy? This is what happens all the time. I don't understand all this whinging, this complaining. You're just not good enough. Xavi is a much better manager than you, and he's got a third of your experience, even less than that. I mean, I don't know why this comes now. I mean, he really wind me up completely, and this is it. You should move on now. Find a club at your level, because Barcelona was always way too good. As good as a legend you were as a player, as a manager, you should have never been appointed in the first place anyway.
It's good to see that Jules is very reserved and relaxed about what Koeman had to say.
I'm glad you've let it go, Jules.
We're going to let Gemma Soler go now. Gemma, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to hearing more from you over the weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, adios, here amigos. Is your upcoming La Liga schedule and all the games that are ahead. Real Madrid taking on Real Sociedad on Saturday. Barcelona will be back in action away to Elche. And it's all rounded off. Look at that. Real Betis against Atleti. That could be tasty. Monday will bring us Athletic Club against Levante. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get you a little bit of what we saw from Leipzig. Minute 17, and Nkunku with the opening goal here.
Well, if you're going to miss hit it into the back of the net.
22nd minute, and Nkunku for his second goal of the game. But Jules, seeing as though we're seeing these great moments from Nkunku, Christopher Nkunku, he was also named the man of the match, and we know this is a player you absolutely love.
I think he's an incredible talent. He's only 24 years of age. He was already quite good in Paris, but he needed to find his way to improve, to find what worked for him. And certainly at Leipzig, that's what happened. First with Nagelsmann, I think then, to be fair to JC Marsh and now Domenico Tedesco, they've continued what Nagelsmann has starting to build with Nkunku, which is like a wonderfully versatile player who can play as a lone striker, as a second striker, a bit deeper, even a bit wider too. He's got 25 goals and 13 assists this season in all competition in 36 games. So that 38 goals involvement in 36 games, it's incredible. He's just walking on water. I think he's going to be called up by Didier Deschamps in 10 days time or 2 weeks time for the next France national team camp and friendly, because he's been in incredible form. And again, to have that ability of playing in different positions for coach, especially at this kind of level, is very, very precious. So he's worked really hard. He deserved what happens to him. It's a shame that he didn't stay in Paris for that. But now this is why Leipzig have been so good this season at times, is simply because of Christopher Nkunku.
Yeah, and you'll be able to see a lot more of him in Bundesliga action. Here is the upcoming schedule for the weekend ahead. Bayern Munich against Bayer Leverkusen on ESPN2. Also on ESPN Plus, make sure you catch that one. Full coverage for you. Jermaine Jones will be joining us to preview that game too. Upcoming MLS schedule for you. It's on Sunday that ESPN and ESPN Deportes will be bringing you Austin FC against Inter Miami, and a full slate of action here for you to catch on ESPN Plus. Hector Herrera coming to Houston. Houston Dynamo GP Pat Onstad talking about the new signing, saying he is the biggest signing in club history, and I don't think anyone else is particularly close. Now, in the previous edition of Football Americas, this completely got the two of them, Seb and Herc, arguing, debating. It was extremely heated. So I can only imagine what the latest edition is going to be like now that we know Hector Herrera is here. Here's a little clip of what we saw from them.
MLS money makes you comfortable, and comfortable players don't produce at the international level. The U.S. literally failed to qualify for the last World Cup because guys were comfortable in MLS.
That has nothing to do with this circumstance.
You have a player who was 3 months in MLS, went to the World Cup, and didn't produce at the World Cup, Carlos Vela. Now you're telling me Hector Herrera, another player, is going to come to MLS and produce at the World Cup?
I understand your disdain for Major League Soccer. I do. You've been a DC United fan for all your life. I understand the disdain for Major League
Soccer. Yeah, I'm upset at Major League Soccer because I gave you a career, and now we're here. If you go to a worse level of training and a worse level of game competition in the months before a major tournament, there's nothing logically that tells me
you're going to improve. But you're assuming it'll be worse than what he's already at right now because he doesn't play right now.
You're right. Houston Dynamo and Atletico Madrid, very comparable on many fronts.
Can you imagine the two of them tonight now that this is announced? Make sure you do not miss the latest edition of Football Americas. It is streaming tonight, and those two will no doubt be going at each other once again. Take a look at the championship standings ahead of the game between Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest coming up on Friday, 2:45 Eastern on ESPN Plus. The battle for the playoff spots is on, and you can see just how tight it is. Fulham definitely making promotion look like their own right now and not having to worry about going through the playoffs. Well, thanks so much for being with us. Stick around if you'd like to have more from Stevie, also from Don Hutchison and Jules Aron, because all of them will be joining us to answer your questions on Extra Time. See you tomorrow. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you so much for sending your questions in. Ready for them, Stevie?
Depends what they are.
All right. Did you enjoy your sandwich today?
I'll tell you what, yeah.
It looked delicious.
Still got them all.
We've got Don and Jules with us as well. Don Hutchison and Jules are on. Thanks for being with us, guys. You should have seen Stevie's sandwich. It looked delicious. Packed by the wife and everything.
My message to Mr. Sarnie.
I know, I'm going to have a word with my husband. He doesn't send me off with a packed lunch. All right. Let's start. One for you, Jules. Nadem's interior decorator would like to know, for Jules, if Pochettino leaves PSG in the summer, who would you like to see come in and replace him?
I think it's who I would like. I think it's who I think a lot of PSG fans would like. I think it's who the club, especially the Emir of Qatar, would like, and that is Zinedine Zidane. I think right now you see it with the struggles that Pochettino has had at times with his dressing room, in the sense that it's not that he doesn't get on with his players, he does, but I think this is a club that works maybe a bit differently to other big clubs in Europe, in the sense that there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of navigation to do between different influences within the football club, and I think Zidane is perfect for that. I think his brain works very well in this kind of environment. So for me, Zidane would tick a lot of the boxes, and especially the one box that says Leonardo's name, because we know that if Zidane comes, that also means that Leonardo will leave because he doesn't want to work with him, and maybe right now that would not be a bad thing for PSG.
You know, every football team has a hierarchy, right? And in every hierarchy, the manager is generally the top of everything. And that's why when the manager walks in the dressing room, all the dressing rooms I've been in, everybody just sort of stops a little bit. I don't think that's been happening at PSG. I think they all either see themselves on the same level as a manager, or this guy's telling me what to do. That would be the biggest change if Zidane walked in. Because if Zidane walked through that dressing room with Messi, with Neymar, with everybody else, they would all stand up, or they certainly would quiet down, and still being a little bit of awe. That's what PSG needs big time. Forget the football side. Just if they could listen to somebody that they respected, can you imagine how much better they would be? He's absolutely the man, as Jules says.
No, Stevie's on board there. You might have found a PSG fan in him yet, Jules. Maybe if Zidane comes in. Yeah. All right, Don, and I'll probably end up giving this to Jules as well, but Don, why don't the team start to give Arsenal, the league's youngest squad and manager, some more positive reactions, as their run is being unfairly dismissed, clearly ahead of Spurs, which isn't even written properly, yet the talk is always about them and not what is being built at the Emirates?
That's a good point from Sydney. Yeah, they've gone under the radar. They've got 3 games in hand. I think they're right to be in the conversation. You watch Man United and you just think they're struggling big time. You watch Tottenham Hotspur, they're just an absolute riddle at the moment. West Ham are just clinging on for dear life. So why shouldn't Arsenal be in the conversation for top four? I think they've got a right chance.
Jules, is that your burner account, Sydney Carton?
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, I think we're praising them. I think we've been praising them. And certainly the good things they've done this season, because there's a direction, as we've been saying. There's a very strong team spirit and I think unity. There's still some flaws and there's still a lot of things to work on, including the squad and rebuilding some part of the squad. And Arteta is still a young coach and young manager in many respects. But I think there's a lot of things they do well and they do the right things as well, which is very important when you're in a battle like this to finish fourth in the Premier League. So it will be tight until the end, but I think they've got a big chance, yeah.
I think we have given them praise as well. And with Jules. And we've also said they're building stuff.
Yeah.
But again, the fact is, recently they went 4 games and they scored 1 goal in 4 games and still moved up the Premier League table. So maybe that's why.
Well, that's some skill, isn't it?
Maybe that's why we haven't exactly gone crazy. I mean, yes, great skill, but
some skill.
So there's a little bit of default to it.
All right, pick one, bench one, drop one, Stevie. Oh, Vinicius Junior, Bukayo Saka, and Luis Diaz.
Pick one. Right now, you'd have to pick Vinny Junior.
Okay.
I think I would sell Bukayo Saka.
You just need to drop him. You don't need to sell him.
Oh, we don't?
in this version, it says you can just drop him.
Oh, beg your pardon. All right.
It's a new game.
Bench. I definitely have Luis Diaz on the bench and I drop Bukayo Saka.
Okay. Don?
Do you know what? I like Luis Diaz, you know. And I'm getting drawn in, even though he's only played.
As soon as you saw him, your head was turned. You had him in the starting 11 ahead of everyone.
I'm in love with him already. I think he's got a little bit of rascal about him. I think in a couple of weeks' time, in a month's time, he'll have a fight with someone. I think it's in him. But I'll agree with Steve. I'll go Vinny Jr. And I'll go Saka. And I think Diaz. I think Diaz on the bench.
So you're dropping Saka.
I'm dropping young Saka, yeah.
Jules.
I can't drop Saka. I can't do that to him, bless him. So I would. Vinny has to be the outstanding one of the three, really.
No, but he's putting his arm around his player and getting the best out of him.
Exactly.
No, he's not a baby.
I believe in him. I believe in him massively, you know. So. Luis Diaz can go and make the coffee and the teas, and then I keep Saka and Vinny.
All right. So which way round is that then? Sorry. Yeah. Who starts?
Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up.
So Vinny has to be your starter, okay. And then Saka on the bench and Luis Diaz on the coach.
All right. Stevie, should the conversation between the referee and the VAR be broadcasted similar to the DRS in cricket? It will allow us to understand the decision taken by the VAR or the referee more profoundly.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't see why it's not.
Fair game, guys. Don?
Yeah. I'm a massive NFL fan and I love the way the referees just call it and stick their mic on. They tell the whole stadium, they tell the whole world what the decision is. And it's perfect every single time. So I think 100% yes.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree with the boys. Or at least try it. And I think the other positive effect that this could have is less swearing from the players towards the referee. Because if we can all hear the F word and this and that, at least the players will stop doing it as well. So that could even have another positive effect.
I've always thought it's strange, right? The referees run around all game playing charades. You know what I mean?
Do you want to give us an impression?
It's all this part, right? And then when they sit players, they're like, no. And then they get the spray out and... you're always guessing what they're on about.
Can we have a bit more?
Hey?
Give us a bit more. All referees.
I mean, it's like the directing traffic, right?
What about when they don't want the players coming close to them?
I mean, how about just go like that? Right, get back. Get away. Leave me alone. That no easier. Charades in the middle of a game of football.
Oh, I love it. All right, so, yep, the answer is a resounding yes. Stevie, how would you defend against someone who is much taller than you during set plays?
Well, you got to get your starting position right. You certainly, somebody that's bigger than you, you don't fight them. Because they want you in and around them so they can feel you, so they can out-muscle you or whatever. So you got to get, if you get a good starting position, then number one, you've got a chance of just going and winning the ball yourself. And if they're just so big and so awkward, you've got to be clever. Give them a little nudge on the quiet. When they're in the air, just a little tickle, just enough to put them off.
Little tickle, little pulling of the under armpit hair there, Don.
Little tickle.
See, I was the opposite, Kay. I used to think if I come up against someone who was better than me in the air, I used to like getting touch tight and having a little grapple, arm around the waist. Like Stevie said, you might just trot on a few toes, put your shiny studs on top of their laces. But I always sort of found it easier just to get touch tight with someone, stop them from getting a run and jump. If someone got a run and jump on me, if I was marking, say, Les Ferdinand and he had 3 or 4 yards on me, he's just going to absolutely batter him in the air. So if I get a little bit touch tight to him, he might win the header, but not necessarily he's going to score from it. So then you're relying on your mates once he wins the header to try and win the second balls.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about... So if Dodge... If Don's marking Lukaku, Lukaku just picked Don up, put him on his back. Just run and go into it anyway.
Stevie, it doesn't come into it.
You're 10 stone.
Stevie, you know.
You're 10 stone soaking wet.
You know when someone's stronger. Stevie, you know when someone's stronger.
Are you going to wrestle somebody who's 14 stone and been on the waist for 5 years? You've got no chance.
You don't wrestle
him. He'll ragdoll you.
Just get touch tight.
He'll just pick you up, throw you away, and then he'll go and head it.
That's a foul. That's a foul and a yellow card.
Well, good luck.
Oh, so hold on a minute. So you're wrestling him. That's not a foul then. Hey, two falls, two submissions. Is it?
No, you've got to be cute. Little arm around the waist. Just cute.
How cute is that? If you put your arm around somebody's waist, everybody will see you.
That's not a foul.
Do you know they've got...
Right. Putting an arm around a waist is not a foul.
Well, you come down, is it dancing with them there? You're allowed to dance with somebody. You put your arms around each other.
All right, you two can agree to disagree. Oh, thanks, Riley, the big golden doodle. Kay, if you had one wish and could get either one of these things this year, what would it be? Borough winning the FA Cup or England winning the World Cup? That's not...
I can answer that for you.
You can... Everyone probably here can answer it for me.
Aye, Borough. Borough winning.
But I can make a whole country happy rather than a whole town.
Have Borough ever won the FA Cup?
We've won one cup and it was the League Cup. You know the answer is though, don't you? What? Sorry, England. Borough winning the FA Cup. It has to be. And you know what? England have got plenty of time to win the World Cup.
Yeah,
this is a great... Exactly. Not in my lifetime. But this is a great chance for Borough. And especially this team, they deserve
chance.
It.
Great chance. They've got no chance.
They've got a great chance. Look, they're just batting aside Premier League opposition.
No chance.
They're up against Chelsea now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll put my mortgage on Middlesbrough. Don't want
Steve is really anti-Middlesbrough, I have to say that. Really
put your mortgage on Stevie, would you?
Aye, absolutely.
Your mortgage?
Aye.
All right,
Did you see Chelsea in the first half against Luton?
Thanks, Don.
Did you see Borough against Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah.
How many goals could they have lost? Should they have lost?
Tottenham Four. Were scared stiff.
Correct.
So Tottenham aren't good, but yet Borough should have lost 4 against them. But what are they going to be late against a good team?
Listen, Borough winning the FA Cup, and I think ESPN should send me to go and cover the final and let me stay in Middlesbrough for a week afterwards.
I think they should agree to that, because they'll never have to do it.
Thanks so much for your question. Even yours, Riley, trying to get me into trouble. Thanks so much for sending them. Thanks for being with us on Extra Time. Remember, ESPN FC is available every single day. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Manchester Derby.